broadcast service of City College and the San Diego Community College District. This is Jazz FM 88.3 KSDS San Diego. I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. Support for Inside Art comes from the members of San Diego's Jazz 88.3. This week on Inside Art, we'll meet the creator of the Old Globe's hit London musical Ride, the story of the first woman to bicycle around the world. But first, San Diego-bred bassist Mackenzie Layton has just released his second album of all original music as a leader. I Remember features this acclaimed young bassist with vibraphonist Ian Harland, pianist Ed Kornhauser, and drummer Tyler Krutel. A product of the Coronado Arts Academy, Mackenzie Layton has become a sought-after sideman known for his versatility, solid groove, and technical prowess. He's a fixture in the San Diego jazz community and has performed with international jazz legends Pat Metheny, Donald Brown, and Jeffrey Keyser. Layton is also a lecturer and director of the Jazz Ensemble at Cal State San Marcos, and I'm pleased to welcome him to Inside Art. Mac, it's great to have you on the program.
Hi, Dave. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. And well, tell me about the making of this new record. This is your second as a leader.
Yeah, the second. The first one, I kind of dropped the ball at the end and didn't do a lot of promotion. So I thought I'd try and do it a little better this time around.
Kept it on the down low, huh?
Yes, I guess so. But yeah, this record, it's 9 original tunes plus a few improvisations that we did in the studio. And I had a nice body of tunes, and I put a band together, and we did a couple gigs, and I liked what I was hearing, so I thought it was time to document it.
Speaking of the band you put together here, you're featuring a really nice vibraphonist, which is I've always enjoyed the combination of piano and vibes together, but Ian Harland is a terrific player. Tell me a little bit about him.
Yeah, so Ian's a great player. He and I went to SDSU together. He's younger than me, but he got his master's degree before I did because I took a little break. And, you know, when we were going to school together, he had been playing vibes for a couple years, and I thought he sounded good. But then I'd say in the last 3 or 4 years, he's really come into his own with a unique style and some serious chops and a really creative kind of approach to the instrument that I really enjoy.
And of course, a longtime collaborator with you and a fellow alum of the Coronado Arts Academy, Ed Kornhauser, on piano.
Yes, Ed Kornhauser and I went to high school together, and I was doing a little math. We've been playing music together for 20 years at this point, I'd say. And he's just such a great player. He's a great accompanist, a great soloist, and whenever he's around, I know I'm going to be comfortable.
And the drummer Tyler Krutel, also somebody you've had a long time playing relationship with.
Yeah, Tyler and I have played together in a lot of different situations over the last maybe 5 or 6 years. And he's everyone's favorite drummer in San Diego right now. Really creative guy. He's a great reader if you got a chart for him, but he can also just kind of fly by the seat of his pants and come up with some really unique stuff.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the compositions. Any overriding themes or things that, were commonalities throughout these 12 songs on the collection?
Yeah, sure. So I ended up calling the record I Remember, and that there's a track on there, Je Me Souviens, which in French means I Remember. So it's sort of the title track, but I'd say the overall theme is that a lot of the tunes are sort of inspired by people. So the opening track, Western Man, is sort of originally inspired by Charles Mingus, who is one of my heroes. But then it's also dedicated to my wife's late grandfather, who sort of we met on a cruise that he brought his family on, and his last name was Westerman. So I thought Western Man was sort of a nice nod to both him and Charles Mingus, who, you know, grew up in Los Angeles.
I love that deep background on these pieces. well, how do you come up with hematology then?
Sure. Yeah, hematology. So at the time that I was writing a lot of these tunes, my wife was undergoing treatment for anemia. So we were going to the hematologist quite a bit. And, you know, people ask me about that. But, you know, there's a lot of tunes in the jazz world that have that ending ology. There's the Charlie Parker tunes, Ornithology, yeah, and Anthropology, and there's others I can't think of right now. But so that sort of ending is sort of almost a naming convention in jazz. So I thought it fit right in that sort of place.
You add to the canon in your own way.
Yes, exactly.
What were some of the unexpected things, you know, as you recorded this, maybe some creations that happened out of the gathering of the musicians, that just kind of the combustible materials that happened, maybe?
Sure. So, two things come to mind. I recorded a number of short sort of duets with each member of the band, the three of the tracks on the record. So that was a nice kind of change. I wanted to change the color a little bit so we didn't have a full band sound on everything, and they sort of work like some sort of transitional material. So I thought we came up with we had some nice moments there. I really particularly like the last track on the album, which is a piano and bass improvisation where I only played harmonics, and then so that sort of limited the amount of notes that I could play. I told Ed what those notes were, and then he just sort of harmonized around it, knowing what notes I was going to be able to play.
That's called Farewell.
Farewell, yeah. And then, you know, one thing about you get a good group of musicians together, and even though I sort of wrote all the tunes, everybody kind of had their own input into how certain things should go. And in the studio, we came up with some nice arrangements, because, you know, recording is different than playing live. You want to be a little bit more concise when you're recording. So sort of coming back in on the bridge instead of playing the whole song on the way out, or on the song Je Me Souviens, Ian Harlan came up with we sort of have this really short 4-bar vibe solo that I think is actually a really nice transition back into the head.
Well, you've also been playing with a lot of people in town here, and you're an educator at Cal State San Marcos in the music department there. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing with the jazz ensemble there.
Yeah, so Cal State San Marcos, it's a cool place to work because the music department there is still relatively young. They've only had a music major for maybe 6 or 7 years at this point. So the jazz band we're sort of still bringing it up. We've had some really good students coming through, and we have people, non-music majors. One of my best players is a political science major. But then we have some music majors in there who come from more of a classical background, and I try to bring them into the jazz world. And we've been able to accomplish some nice stuff. Last semester, we did a program of all Horace Silver songs, and that was really cool.
Well, you mentioned that Charles Mingus is one of your idols on the bass, and you're going to be doing a 101-year tribute to Charles Mingus at Dizzy's on April 20th. This is going to be a quintet. Tell us a little bit what you have in mind for this program.
Yeah, so April 22nd will be the 101st birthday, you could say, of Charles Mingus. And so on April 20th, Saturday, we're doing a tribute to him, and it's a quintet. It's going to feature Ed and Tyler again in the rhythm section, and then it's going to feature Brian Levy on tenor and Carter Key on trombone. And we're going to do some of the classic tunes from the band he had with Eric Dolphy and Jackie Byard and that sort of era of his music.
What are some of the things about his bass playing that kind of resonate with you? I mean, we know about his compositions, of course, but the bass itself, what is it that kind of inspires you from his style?
Yeah, Bob Magnuson, the great bassist and a teacher of mine for many years, he described Mingus as having sort of a guttural approach to the instrument. Mingus studied classical music and has a real refined technique, and then often chooses to play in sort of a rough around the edges kind of way, which I really appreciate. And he's got some techniques that are sort of unique to him. He does sort of a right hand tremolo thing, if you can think of African Flower from that record Money Jungle with Duke Ellington and Max Roach. He does this sort of interesting right-hand tremolo approach, and he's got some other sort of unique techniques to him. He's just got a real interesting style, I think.
And a singular voice as well that you instantly recognize as you listen to that. I don't know how, as any kind of musician, we would, you know, create your own. That's just other than just being yourself.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of jazz, really, is that all the great players, you know them in three or four notes. You can tell it's Charles Mingus or Ron Carter or whoever it is.
You know, I saw you a few years ago playing in Lamb's Players Theater production of Million Dollar Quartet.
Oh, yeah.
And this was, I didn't expect to see you there, but but this was a show that showed a different side of you, some acting as well.
Yeah, I had a few lines in there, and, you know, people, I had some, you know, jazz guys, we like to mix it up and do a different thing every night, so it's kind of a different muscle. I did 135 performances of that show, and, you know, some of my friends in the jazz world would ask me, you know, how do you do the same thing night after night? And, you know, the acting, I was terrified to say my lines every night, so that kept it fresh, you know. I always had to be waiting for that moment.
Oh, well, you were surrounded by a terrific cast. My goodness.
Absolutely.
By the way, if anybody hadn't seen this, this was the story of four legends of Sun Records meeting around Christmas time and filled with great songs.
That's right. Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, there's a song on the record called Song for JP. And that's dedicated to Jay Perkins, who was my character in that show. He had sort of a tragic life. He died from complications in a car accident relatively young. And I sort of got a lot of, you know, personal fulfillment out of that show playing him. So I thought I'd write something in tribute to him.
Well, that's a great way to tie back into your new album, I Remember Here. Where can people get this release?
Yeah, so it's available for purchase on Bandcamp, and then, of course, you can stream it on Spotify or Apple Music, any of those services. And then I did do a short run of CDs. It's sort of difficult to know in this time whether or not you should make CDs, but I decided to do it. So if you come see me live, you can get a physical copy that way.
Okay, and your next live date, of course, will be April 20th, 101 Years of Mingus at Dizzy's, and that'll be led by, of course, my guest, bassist Mackenzie Layton, who's joined me on Inside Art. Well, congratulations on I Remember and all of the work that you're doing, and we really appreciate you coming on the program to talk about it.
Thanks so much, Dave. Really appreciate you having me.
Mackenzie Layton's I Remember is available through Bandcamp, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. You can learn more about Mackenzie Layton and his upcoming performances, including his April 20th tribute to Charles Mingus at Dizzy's, at MackenzieLaytonBass.com. Coming up, we'll preview the U.S. premiere of the hit London musical Ride with the show's creator, book writer, co-composer, and lyricist Freya Katrin Smith. That's next as Inside Art continues here on San Diego's Jazz 88.3. Funding for Inside Art comes from the members of Jazz 88.3, where your support brings the joy and history of jazz and all of the arts to San Diego. To become a member, visit jazz88.org/donate.